Hi, welcome to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast. Mm-hmm. Sitting across from me is the be-suit jacketed Will Hines.
Sitting across from me is the knit hat wearing John Frusciante.
Tell everybody how you just described me.
As like the third ranked friend in a group of buddies in a coming of age film. Guy with the ironic t-shirts who
right.
doesn't have a girlfriend until the last 10 minutes.
And I suddenly have one and everything's great.
We don't have enough time in the movie to figure out what's going on with you.
Right.
That's what you look like.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, our podcast intern.
Cypha Sounds.
Good morning. Good evening.
Mm-hmm.
And our guest today is...
Whoa.
We forgot about the podcast intern.
Right.
Intern.
Okay.
Yeah, shout Keaton out.
Yeah.
Keaton Patty, the intern's
shout
intern.
Shout out to Keaton.
He's been pretty consistent.
Yeah, he has.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. He's been great. And our guest today is Darcy Carden.
Oh, hi.
Whom I've been, full disclosure, aggressively courting. For the podcast.
And I've been like I've been like devastated every time I can't do it.
Yeah.
And it's that thing of like thinking, well, that's my only chance.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what, guys?
And usually it is. Yeah. Usually I give people one chance and if you can't do it, that's it.
Yeah.
You're out of my life forever.
But we did it. And here I am 2 days before I won't be here anymore.
Just in time.
I'm moving to Los Angeles,
yeah.
where podcasts don't happen.
Yeah, that's
no,
true.
There are no podcasts in Los Angeles.
Not a one.
Just going to fix your mic a little.
Keaton's fixing a microphone.
Oh.
Thank you, Keaton.
There we go.
Yeah.
Thank you, Keaton.
Yes, that's it, Keaton.
All
right.
Finally.
Yes. Thank God.
God, what would we do?
Nothing. We would suffer our lives in a worse way.
Honestly, I'd be sitting in the corner talking into the wall without Keaton. I would have no idea what anything was. So let's talk about Darcy. You're one of my favorite people.
Oh God, you know I feel the same way about you.
You're a hilarious improviser and actor.
Thanks, buddy.
All around nice person.
Thanks.
We talked a little bit about your bio before we started recording.
Mm-hmm.
It's how I enter any conversation.
Yep. Usually it doesn't serve a point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But today it was great.
Yeah.
So when did you first come to UCB?
That's me. Sorry, Keaton.
let me say it like this. I came to New York in 2002 to be an actor after college and just kind of like roam the earth, not knowing what the fuck I was doing
right.
there.
Didn't get an apartment or anything, just roamed the streets.
Like everybody I knew from college was like auditioning for Broadway things. And that was, I just was like, well, that's not really my world. I don't know what I'm doing here.
Mm-hmm.
And then a friend, and I think in 2004, a friend took me to ASCAT and we sat in the front row. And then maybe everybody that's at UCB has the same story, but it just like completely blew my mind.
Right.
In a way where I think I maybe had tears in my eyes.
Hmm.
I loved it. And I never had seen anything like it, nor even real. I mean, I didn't even know it existed.
Right.
We didn't really have any. Our improv in college was like.
What college?
Southern Oregon University in Ashland, Oregon. And we would do like, I feel like we did Shakespearean improvising.
Oh, really?
Shakespeare Festival's there, right?
Yeah.
That's like a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We would do like dramatic improvising and stuff, which was cool. But, you know, I didn't know that this was a world that existed. And
okay.
And I signed up for classes. The next day.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're a goofy person.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but did you identify yourself as like a comedian at that time?
That's a good question. I didn't at all.
Huh.
At all. But I all I knew is that like I always got cast in the funny role in a play.
Gotcha.
So, and I like took one class in college that I think was called comedy acting or comedy acting.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the only girl in the class. And it was a bunch of dudes and it was really fun. And I like figured it out. Do you know what I'm saying?
No.
No. What do you mean?
Like, whatever the point of the class was, I connected with it so hard. I was like, it was like math or you know, like, it was like, oh, that makes sense to me. That, like, I'm going to get an A in this class because everything you're saying makes sense to me.
I see.
Got it.
Yeah.
But that was it as far as comedy stuff goes.
Who were you looking up to at the time? Like, what did you think you wanted to do? If you didn't identify yourself as a comedy person.
That's funny because I think I always, you know, I would like stay at home on Saturday nights to watch Saturday Night Live and stuff. Like I always loved.
What is that?
What is that show?
I don't know how to explain it. It's like this tiny little, just maybe Google it.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
What is that?
Okay.
Sorry.
And what is Googling?
Right. It's like, Shoot.
Explain it in terms of Alta Vista.
I loved like comedy movies. Yeah, I definitely I knew I liked comedy. I knew I loved comedy. That was what I loved. But I didn't think the word comedian didn't. I knew I didn't want to do stand up, but I sure as shit was obsessed with like Comedy Central when it first came out, and it was all stand ups.
Right.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. It was all stand ups and Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah. And PCU.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was
constantly.
Like on, it was almost like MTV for, right? It was like little videos.
Yeah.
All I can think of is Kevin Meaney.
Yeah.
I feel like
he
was on like every
he
day.
He was, yeah. That's
he was.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Maybe all over that.
Dana Gould or somebody.
Mm-hmm. So you started
What's
saying,
up, Sypha?
No, I turned John's mic up because I thought it was yours. John's voice is a little louder.
Sorry,
in the beginning.
Everybody.
I'm sorry. I've adjusted it since.
Well, we just lost hundreds of listeners.
Yeah, your voice was like, boom. Really? Sorry, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
That's why you're the intern, Sypha.
I know.
If you want to move up to apprentice.
Okay, so what were you about to say?
So, so you started taking classes.
Yeah.
And did you have the same feeling of like, oh, I get this. I figured it out.
I did in 101. Well, it wasn't called 101. It was called Level 1.
Mm-hmm.
I did in that class where it was an Owen Burke class. And in that class was John Murray, who I'm still wonderfully close with.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird way of saying it.
That works.
Okay. I don't know anybody else from that. Like, nobody else stuck around.
Okay.
Duncan Sheik was in that class.
Really?
That's
Barely
funny.
Breathing
yeah,
Duncan
man.
Sheik?
Wow.
That's cool, right?
Girls love
yeah.
Duncan Sheik.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway, he didn't make it on a Herald team, did he?
No, he didn't.
Yeah. And what's he doing now?
Yeah,
what's he done with his life?
Right. Winning Tonys and shit?
He's been what? Tonys?
Winning Tonys.
Is he winning Tonys?
Yeah, Spring Awakening. He wrote Spring Awakening.
Did you know it was the same?
I didn't know.
So now you know.
Mm-hmm.
Informative podcasts.
Yep. Learning.
So in one level one, I was like, I got this. I understand it all. I am, you know, I just was like, this is
Felt
for me.
Great.
And then level two, I was like, I'm the worst. I don't understand. Level three was worse. It just continued. It would go
what
up and down.
What broke that? Where did you come out? Where was the other end of that tunnel
for
you? I
think there was a Shannon O'Neill class that was maybe a 401 that she just, I took a million classes here. I never had a bad class. I never had a bad teacher. I never had a class that I would like not recommend to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, like you, it's not even like I connected with some more. It was like it connected with me more.
Mm-hmm.
And that 401, the way Shannon, like, she seemed to really understand each individual's pros and cons, and she could really call it out and say, I remember she did some exercise where it was like one person up. Is that even possible? Oh, maybe it was a bunch of people up, but it was focusing on one person. You had to do a bunch of scenes with me or whoever.
Individual exercise day. Yeah.
And then she was like, here's what you need to work on. And she did that for everybody in the class, and I was kind of blown away. And it helped me. That class really helped me. Am I just allowed to talk?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
I keep stopping myself. From
No. That's the whole
Why
point
are we
of this.
Here? But I did something that, like, I mean, I guess I can't regret anything or whatever because life is what it is, boys.
Right.
Sure.
But
is.
I took my time taking these classes. I took too long, I feel like. I would take a class and I would become obsessed with it and I would get to know people and I would go to Herald Night and I'd like fall in love with UCB and then I would go to California for like 4 months and do a play.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would come back and take another class and
like
everybody had kind of taken a step up and I would get to know the new group and
sure.
And I felt a little behind for a long time until I stopped doing that. I think I took 4 classes in like 2 years.
Why do you think you did that? Was there an appeal to doing plays?
Yeah, I mean, I love doing plays.
Mm-hmm.
I love doing plays. I haven't done a play in a long time. And I think, you know, all I knew is that I love doing improv, but I didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
I still don't, you know, it's like, I don't know what this is going to become or I don't know, get me. I don't know what this is going to get me. That's a weird way of saying it. But to me, plays was like, oh, you get money and you get to be in a play and you get, I don't know, like a credit on your resume.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And improv, I didn't exactly know what it was other than I just was obsessed with it in a way that I'd never been obsessed with anything before.
And that's what kept you going even though you felt frustrated is the obsession.
Yeah, I was like, I got it.
I just love doing this.
Yeah, I'd see a show and I would be like, I would have this mix of like joyfulness and like almost anger that I wasn't up there. I wanted to be up there so bad. But I also, I remember watching like an ASCAT or maybe like a Respecto or something and being like, I know I'll never in my life get to do that, but wouldn't it be the best? Wouldn't it be the coolest thing? Mm-hmm. It's like watching a rock show and being like, I know I don't know how to play guitar, but man, I would love to be Mike McCready and Pearl Jam. I don't know.
That's a great reference. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was trying to think about it, and when I first noticed you, I think, was in the Matthew McConaughey show.
Oh, right.
That Christina Gaussis directed.
Oh, what a
fun. And that was Mad, essentially. Yeah. That was you and Abra and Mackenzie.
Mackenzie Condon and Abra Tayback. We called ourselves MAD. And, yeah, we did this. Christina Gaussis came up to maybe me and Mackenzie one day and said she wanted to do something with us, and we had just talked to Abra about maybe doing something together. And we did this Sypha. Let me tell you what it was. Okay.
I'm listening.
No, I know you are, but you wouldn't know what this is. It was improv based on Matthew McConaughey's blog posts, and we rehearsed for a long time, and we really, I mean, you know, Christina's amazing and intense, and we did these like really hardcore rehearsals, and I feel like I mean, it was like. She was like our improv professor for a while. It felt really intense.
What was it like to study with Gaussis? I've had a couple workshops with her, and I know her. And I know she's like one of the best improvisers ever.
She just gets it so...
She's also like a super intense person and really passionate about everything.
Mm-hmm. That, I mean, that's what it is. It's like she's so loving and nurturing and giving. Like, she didn't charge us for rehearsals.
Well,
I mean, that's maybe not that big of a deal, but it seemed like a really big deal at the time.
Seems like a big deal,
She just wanted to be there.
Yeah.
And she would, like, the rehearsals were really intense. And I want to say we, like, cried at a couple of rehearsals.
Yeah.
What do you mean by intense? Can
like,
you...
I just think she would, like, let's see. We would work really hard, so we would do long scenes, and then it was almost like we were quizzed afterwards, and almost like she was a professor. Mm-hmm. And you would feel so kind of like you didn't want to disappoint her because she had invested so much into it. Mm-hmm. Right. They were also really fun. Like we just had fun. And I have never had more fun than performing with those two girls, Mackenzie and Abra. That was like a really cool time in my life where we just like, it was just nothing but fun. It was, and it was kind of like another level of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you did a spank with that show. Yeah. And I remember that. And in the show, who played Matthew McConaughey in that show? I forget who it was. I know somebody did. I remember that somebody played Matthew McConaughey and had a hat.
I think it was Jeff Hiller.
Is that
right?
Who it was?
No, it wasn't. We did something else with him. Was it Rob Lathan?
I forget. But didn't he walk around to the audience with his hat and had like pieces of paper in
it
the
was
hat
different
that were blog
posts?
Yeah. And somebody would pick, an audience member would pick them out of the hat.
Right.
He would read them and then he would sit on the side of the stage.
Yeah. It was really a fun, stupid idea, but we really had fun with it.
It was a great show.
Thank you.
The improv.
John.
One of the things that I remember, which is, I think, a pretty classic Gaussis thing, is I remember a lot of I, you, and we in that show. Like a lot of the lines would start with I, you, or we.
Not that we were at the top of our game, but we were so, like, it was as if we were a basketball team and we had just been, like, running drills.
That's what it seemed like watching the three of you. Yeah.
And I remember she cried after the show. She was so proud of us. It was really cool. It just was like, I don't know, it was like... real theatery and cool.
Yeah.
I mean, just because, you know, we'd worked really hard.
Right.
Okay, so that was, yeah. I mean, just you're saying that's when you remember.
That's when I remember. Yeah. And so, Mad, that show, I don't think that show continued, right? But the three of you...
We did.
...continued and did a lot of shows together. And you started hosting Gentrify, right?
Yeah.
At the Brooklyn Lyceum.
That's correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You should look at Darcy. It was her show.
No, but
I'm looking at you.
I'm just generally the fact guy here.
Yeah, I'm looking at you to bring you... to make sure you're engaged
in
the conversation.
I'm here, I'm psyched.
And I think that was 2008 or 2007. And we teamed up with this amazing three-man group called Sidecar, which is Justin Tyler, Alden Ford, and Matt Fisher. And the six of us would host these shows called Gentrify Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. And they were great.
They were so fun. Mm-hmm. That's another, like I didn't...
It was Saturday nights at first, right?
Saturday nights at first. I mean, if we're going deep, it was Thursday nights at first. But that didn't last long.
Okay.
Then we I think because we did well, maybe. Like, the show did well, so they moved us to Saturdays.
Okay.
Lyceum, big, cavernous. It was seeming like an abandoned medieval church.
I think it used to... I think it's, like, the largest... underground bathhouse, something like that, in America, and it was covered up. Something, it had some crazy.
It looks like a church on the outside. Yeah. You go inside, there's big, tall brick walls, cavernous, inky darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really yell to be kind of heard, but it's real cool.
It was definitely cool. I think do you know a comedian named Eugene Merman?
Yes, we know of him.
Sure.
Vaguely.
Sure.
So, so he did the show one time, and I remember he said something like, this is what people think we're doing in Brooklyn. Like, this, you know what I mean? Like, this is what people always think we're doing, and we're never doing it, but tonight we are doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like this big, huge space. So we're still running that show, Gentrify. We don't call it Gentrify Brooklyn anymore, but it's just Gentrify, and it's at UCB East on Friday nights at 10:30. And that show, I'm like so proud of. I'm like,
it should be. It was a cool thing.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, when I first came to my radar, it was like one of these indie shows that had like its own voice and life and was real positive and happy and could get a crowd.
Yeah.
Independent, it seemed, of whoever was performing. Yeah. Like, if there was somebody sort of bigger, that would boost the crowd. But I remember you could count on people being at a Gentrify show no matter what. Yeah. You know, as opposed to like indie shows that go under St. Mark's, it can be hit or miss, you know, depending on like
it's
groups
hard.
And like the night and stuff. But Gentrify transcended that.
I thought it was cool because I would be so proud of the show itself, but I was also proud of the scene that it was. You know, that like I was, people would come just to watch or just to hang out.
That was one of the things I was always impressed with when I was there, is that people would just wander in just to watch. And it also culminated in a fantastic dance party.
It did, which sounds so cheesy, but wasn't it fun?
It was great.
God, it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to recreate that.
You can't.
Maybe
it's impossible.
Too old. It was like 5 years ago, 4 years ago. But it was really fun, and I loved working with those five people so much. It was awesome. It was such a cool time in our lives, and we felt like siblings or something. And we like traveled, you know, we like went to Boston and Austin, and we did all these fun festivals. And it was just, everybody got along so well, and it was really fucking fun.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Gentrify was super cool.
Yeah,
still is.
Thanks, y'all.
Now it's at UCB East,
and it's really doing well there.
Yeah.
I don't know why or how.
Yeah.
But the last month or so, it's been like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sold out around, we kind of are blown away.
Mm-hmm. And so not long after that, sort of, you know, compressing the time.
Bop around.
That's good.
You got on your first UCB Herald team, which was Scooch.
Ever heard of that?
I have.
Because?
I knew somebody that was on it.
What was his name?
It was John Frusciante.
That's adorable.
Right. That's right.
You have to pull it out of me to admit that I was on it.
We were on that team together.
We were on that team together, yes. And you were not long for that team, right? You were moved from Scooch to Badman.
Right.
Right. Okay, so let's deal with that for a minute. So
can we deal with that?
You get put on Scooch. Was that your first audition?
It was my third audition.
Okay.
It took me a long time to get on the Herald team, but it was like, it was great. It was so, it made me really want it and like work hard for it.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I...
Not getting on made you want to work for it.
The first audition I ever did was like the Bastion year, the Bastion audition.
Okay. Right. Mm-hmm.
And I actually, like the callback was basically me and all of Bastion. Whoops. but I was like, happy to be here. Just happy to be in the room. Thanks, guys. You know, so kind of thrilled that somebody, like Anthony King even said my name out loud. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then the second audition, after that audition, I was like, well, of course I'll get on the next time because I got a call back the first time.
Right.
And then the next time auditions came around, I didn't even get a call back.
Wow.
And so then I was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then
how do you deal with that?
I was like, I think I was super bummed because this, I had kind of devoted my life and passion to this, and I it was like a big, not even like a slap in the face, not like I took it personally. It was more just like, buckle down. I think I like took another class, you know, like mm-hmm. enrolled in another class, probably mm-hmm. your class.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was a fun class.
Well, it was a good time.
Yeah, that was a good
12 week.
Yeah.
What was that class?
I was not on the Herald team at that point. No, I
you
wasn't.
You were not, no.
That was
Zuleika happened around.
Yeah,
then.
That's what Zuleika, that's where
one
Zuleika
of your other
was
indie
born.
Teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zuleika. Mm-hmm.
This is the Benjamin Apple, Tim Dunn, Don Finelli, Darcy.
Scott Jones.
I don't think he was in that. I
no,
think
he
you
wasn't
guys
in that
were,
class. You're right.
Achilles was in that class.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm forgetting people. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
No, it was that was it. Just seven
yeah,
people
that's
in
right.
the class.
So you're saying that you didn't even get a callback.
Right.
And so your reaction to that was to like just buckle down
yeah.
and take more classes.
Totally.
And work harder.
Yeah, because I knew I knew it wasn't. It's hard to get like rejected from an audition, something that you want to do, something that you love. But I didn't have the feeling of like they don't know what they're missing. It wasn't anything like who do they think they are. It was like Darcy.
Mm-hmm.
Like learn this better, be better.
Why? Like, what makes some people in a situation where some people are like, fuck this.
Yeah.
I'm discouraged. I'm not, I give up, or I'm going to go someplace yeah. else. I'm going to go to another theater
right.
and try. What makes you keep going?
I think like it might be UCB itself. Like I have such a high respect for it, and I am so snobby about it, and I don't think anything even comes close.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll stand by that. Like, I don't think anything comes close to UCB as far as the training and what gets put on the stage. And I didn't want to do it if it wasn't the best. Like, I don't know what to, like, how to say this without being a real bitch. But I didn't want to go anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't like, well, I could probably get stage time at...
It wasn't about getting stage time somewhere else for you. It was about
being
good enough for this thing, that,
totally.
This organization that you felt passionate
especially
about.
Especially being a girl, too. I was.
What do you mean by that?
There are so few girls, right? I don't whatever mm-hmm. the reason is for that, but there's so few girls
on
a
stage.
Comedy stage. And the ones here blew my mind, and I wanted to be one of them so bad.
Mm-hmm.
I was like more determined to be on stage here than anything I've ever done in my life.
Hmm.
And I played sports, y'all. Like I didn't know if I was going to get it. I really didn't. Like I didn't know if it wasn't like a sure thing. I didn't think if I just put in the time, I'll get it. But I just knew I wanted it so
mm-hmm.
bad.
Mm-hmm.
So bad.
You
desperate.
Wanted to be that Mike McCready.
I wanted to be.
Or you wanted to be Lita Ford.
Yeah. Yes, I just I just thought those girls were cool. I thought those guys were cool that I watched, and I just wanted it so
bad.
I'm
going to put you on the spot a little bit. Who are the first girls you think about when you're like, I want to be like those girls?
Okay, when I
and it's okay if you leave people out. I know you won't get to everybody. Who just comes
that's
to
great.
Mind? First?
You can also refer to them as women if you.
Yeah,
want.
No, I'm going to say chickens. The girls I think of first when I think of like my beginning here, I think of Jessica St. Clair, who I think I fell in love with, right?
Yeah.
I think I fell in love
yeah.
with.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah.
Lennon,
yeah.
Kate Spencer, Katie Dippold, Risa and Sue were really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I just, I think I had, I'm a feminist. We all are, right, guys?
Sure.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think I had thought my whole life what many people think, which was like, oh, girls aren't funny or girls aren't as funny as guys.
Mm-hmm.
But when I came to UCB, I was like, those girls are, you know?
Right.
Those girls are. And maybe the other girls that aren't on that, like maybe the point is, I don't know, maybe like it's true in other, I don't know, like other things. Like maybe, I don't know how to say it because.
In other like what, subgenres of comedy
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, maybe. No, I don't even, it's like, maybe it's, I don't even know. Maybe this is like the worst discussion to get into if girls are funny or not. But all I knew is that those few girls that were on that stage that I would watch at Harold Knight or weekend teams or whatever. Oh, Jackie Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, Jackie Clark.
Yeah.
They blew my mind. They were so good and I just needed to be like them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not even talking about Amy because she
Right, it goes up.
She transcends.
She lives up
beyond
to every
human.
Yeah.
What is it that you're seeing and that you were seeing in them? First of all, what were the Harold teams? Remind us, like, what Harold teams are you going to? Are
she
you
spreads
seeing?
Out over a long time. It sounds like you took level one when it was one. That's like respecto mother.
Yeah.
Swarm time.
Yeah.
But also, like, you mentioned Risa.
Right. That was like 1985. I mean, the team.
Right.
Right. Risa and Sue.
Yeah, that was my team.
And you, buddy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That was my favorite team for a long time.
Can you remember? I'll put you even more on the spot.
No, you can.
Here.
And
can
I probably.
Can you remember any specific? This is always fun. Any specific scenes that you always think about?
That's a great question.
Any scenes or moves that stick out to
you? I do remember. Just this is popping into my head right now. A 1985 scene that in my head it was you and Porter, but I don't know if that's true.
It was kind of
maybe everybody, but it had to do with mowing the lawn.
Oh no!
Or
this
like
is,
trimming the hedges, or it was something about two people's front lawns.
This is Porter and Charlie Sanders.
Okay,
they were like doing a split screen of competing neighbors. No, that's all I remember is that they were competing about trimming each other's hedges.
And I think everybody got involved somehow.
I either Charlie started a rap that everybody had to do.
Or
I think it was a competition, like they were keeping like diaries. Oh, wait, I'm getting it mixed up with the Flynn Barrison, Charlie Sanders, competing senators.
Flynn Barrison?
Yeah. I feel like that sounds familiar too, though.
I think it was the second beat.
Yeah.
I think the first beat was Porter and Charlie doing hedges, and the second beat was Flynn and Charlie on opposite sides of the aisle at the Senate throwing chairs at each other or something. It wasn't that highbrow.
That was like around the time that I think I kind of, it was fun to like get obsessed with improvisers too, where like I would be at my little temp job or whatever, and I would like be on the performer page just reading everybody's bios, clicking on all the links and stuff.
Yeah.
Just trying to like, just, I just got obsessed with people. I liked knowing who everybody was.
Yeah. I think that's a common
And when
thing.
People like in my classes didn't, I would be like, oh, I don't have time for you.
Okay. So,
let's jump to Stone Cold Fox.
Okay.
Sure.
So Stone Cold Fox, you were on Stone Cold Fox, the mod team, from the beginning.
From the first day.
So you've never been on any other mod
teams.
You've never been on Gramps.
I've never been on Gramps. I know what you're talking about.
So you were on Stone Cold Fox from the beginning of Mod Night.
Right.
From the beginning of their tenure.
Right. And that was like my first, or were you about to say something else?
Nope.
That was my first like pat on the back at UCB. That was the first time that somebody was like, you're doing something, you know, you're doing it right. You know, you got on a team.
Right.
Because I was on Mod before anything else.
Oh, right. Yes.
And that was like, that was cool. I that audition, I remember it was, let's see, I think it was Anthony King and Dom and, Eric Scott, maybe?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Eric Scott,
yeah. And I remember just being like, none of these guys know who I am. Like, there's no way anybody knows who I am. I'm gonna just make a fool of myself and disappear into the night, and no one will ever hear of me again. But then they like laughed, and it felt great. I've had some moments like that on this stage or in this world, in this UCB world, where you like take a risk and trust what you think is funny, and it's scary because I'm not a writer. Like I don't, you know, I think I know what's funny, but when you put it out there, not in an improv way, but where you've planned it out, it's more pressure for me.
Yeah.
And to be rewarded with a laugh or with a whatever is pretty satisfying and makes you think like, oh, I can do this.
Yeah. Now I'm going to put you on the spot again, Will, if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
This is a larger question, sort of skipping ahead to the meta bullshit. But so what do you think is funny? What is funny to Darcy?
Now, may I ask
Weird
you
noises.
To,
uh-huh.
Can you specify that a little bit? Like, what are you talking about? Like, do you want examples of things that she thinks are funny?
You
things
said,
that
like,
she's done that she's been real happy about that she thinks represents her?
Yeah, I think like
I mean, doing an improv show where Matthew McConaughey's blog is the inspiration is a particular choice.
That's a pretty great thing. You know, you said like you have to do what you think is funny. So like, I think I'm sort of asking for like an like, what are the kinds of characters that you like to play, or the kinds of moves or things that appeal to you?
God, that is such a good question.
What makes you tick comedically?
Right. It's like, that is an amazing question, and I wish I was smart enough or something enough to like really answer it, because I know what I know. I have like a physical reaction to what I think is funny and what I don't think is funny. And my husband, Jason, like knows exactly mm-hmm. what that is.
Those are the kinds of things that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
What are the things that make you have that either you watch or that you do?
Yeah.
What are the things that you want to do?
I have guesses at this.
Go ahead.
I think Darcy likes to do, like, one of my favorite Darcy things is when she and Brandon in a recent Stone Cold sketch were like morning talk show hosts. Mm-hmm. And whatever the script was irrelevant because, or that's not true. It was a really good script. But like, one of the really fun parts was you two would just start chatting with each other and sort of over-talking each other and kind of interrupting and got into a rhythm where whenever one person would say something, no matter what, the other one right on the heels would be like, yeah, that's right, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And it would be increasingly like ridiculous things. Like if one of them would say, and I'm, of course, a fugitive from the law. Yeah, that's right. You're running from the law. And now you tell us about cozies. Oh, cozies. I love cozies. Right. You do love cozies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Non-stop between the two of them, unbroken wall yeah. of chitter chatter that was hilarious.
Thank
right?
you.
Yeah.
That feels like a real Darcy thing.
I think so. And I will also say, like, I don't know if this is hitting it at all, but like what I think of when I think about you and what I love about you and have always loved about playing with you is like you have this kind of like this huge joyful energy about you. And it's like it's almost like let's celebrate how ridiculous the world is.
Yeah.
You know, and like let's point out and not make fun of, but just like the closest parallel I can draw is your undying love for One Direction. You know, it's that kind of thing where it's like, let's just celebrate right. how fun everything is.
That's you guys. Thank you, by the way.
I got another one.
Okay.
I feel like
you can leave, Darcy. We'll just talk about you.
I think a Darcy thing would be to get the focus of the room, like if you're in an improv show, like stepping out or whatever and talking, and then for some reason, like pointing at something that's off to the side that is not relevant to the discussion or the scene, and then kind of nodding and then going back to whatever you're talking about. Like when you sat down here at this podcast table, there's a little coffee stain on the table, and you sat down and John was introducing you, and you like leaned over and pointed at the stain and then looked up and made eye contact with him.
Yeah.
And he kind of nodded, and then you like took your finger away and then answered his question. And yeah. that's like not
right.
that's that coffee it's, stain is not relevant, right?
Right. But it is now.
And it's
it
not
is
bothering
your
you,
world.
Is it, Darcy?
No.
It's but you've pointed there. At it like twice already.
Right. And when you point at it, you point at it like it's this cute thing. It's like, why is this here? Who cares? Right. But it's
I
fun.
Feel like if Darcy was like at a job interview, she would sit down, like cross her legs, reach out in the desk, pick up a random object and hold it up to the boss and then put it down and then like nod for the first question.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a Darcy move.
I like yeah. that.
There, like, you're one of the people, like, there are women that I've played with on Harold teams that, like, that stick out to me as people that I just love doing scenes with. That, like, they step out and I'm like, oh, great. Sarah Burns.
Yeah.
I always knew when I stepped out with Sarah Burns that I was going to pretend, that I was going to look like I was a good actor.
Right.
You know,
Sarah Burns does make people look like
yeah.
they're good
yeah.
actors.
Molly Lloyd, yeah. Emily Axford, and you were one of those people that's like, oh, like, we're just going to.
Now let me put you on the spot.
There's just something there.
Right.
There's
I feel the same way about you.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead, Will.
It's kind of a dick thing I'm going to do.
Go ahead.
So do because I think you're, that's you a really
I trust
nice
you.
Thing.
We're friends. I trust you.
Okay. I mean, you'll like talking about this.
Okay.
That's a great compliment.
Yeah.
Thank
but
you.
Why we don't shouldn't separate men or women for that, right? Because some men make you look like better. So
oh,
there are
sure.
Like, there are acting improvisers who mm-hmm. just make the – Ryan Carles makes people around
absolutely.
Them look like better
and
actors.
I
you and I make people look like worse actors.
No.
We get out there and we –
Yeah.
No
mm-hmm,
way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I make people look like worse actors because I'm so good that right. people are befuddled with
thing.
What to do.
That's
people are just like, I'm drowning out
right,
here.
Right.
Well, it's too big a discussion for this, but I think
no,
it's weird.
No, I understand.
The men versus women division doesn't work, but there is some division that happens, some sort of like
I'm
actor
not,
versus writer
right.
or yin versus yang
right.
is
kind
it,
of grouping.
I'm not actively trying. I wasn't actively
you're not,
trying to make a distinction between men and
I
women.
Had just
I
just done it. I had just
right.
Like I had
yes,
just,
that's right.
Yeah, I'm just pointing out since we're talking to a
yeah,
woman,
yeah.
I'm pointing out that
I know,
are,
but it's just
that,
weird how that self perpetuates.
Yeah,
I agree. I mean, your point was totally valid. Uh-huh. Like Darcy has that effect on ensembles that she performs with. Sarah's another one who has that effect. I just
dude, put me in the same group with her, and
yeah.
I
guess you're the doing point is that I so dislike performing with women that I remember I remember the good ones.
Right. Well,
excuse me.
So a little bit back to the question you asked, and I don't exactly know how to answer it, but I will say that I just recently saw this show called Maneater with Matt Denny.
Oh yeah, and Josh Sharp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I felt so happy when I was watching it, and what I realized while I was watching it is what I love to watch and what I love to do is like comedy that is full of joy and silliness, mm-hmm, which I don't know if that's good or not, but like I was just smiling like a dumb idiot the whole time I watched that. Yeah. Or whenever I watch Brandon Scott Jones,
sure,
or
yeah,
who, like, you know, just somebody like it's something that maybe like that's what comes naturally to me is just like, let's celebrate this. I don't know. Maybe it's like, what are we doing if we're not doing that? You know?
Right.
Yeah.
And you guys, I like improv a lot.
It shows.
Yeah. Let's go back to Stone Cold Fox.
Yeah, let's do that.
Mm-hmm. The first incarnation of... So Stone Cold Fox has always been a big team at this theater. Mm-hmm. Still currently the first weekend house sketch team.
That is correct.
Yeah. Very proud of that.
And everybody who's been on it has been great. But they've gone through a number of like different incarnations, I think.
Y'all,
right?
I'm the last first.
That's right. Yeah. So you leaving, tonight is your last show. This podcast will have aired by then.
Yeah. And won tons of awards.
And changed the male-female dynamic comedy. So you're the last original member of Stone Cold Fox.
Although like John Murray and Brandon Scott Jones were like soonish after me, mm-hmm, and Jonathan Fernandez.
I cut you off, Will. You were going to make a point.
No, it's okay. They weren't that soon. It was a year.
Yeah, you're right.
It was over a year before. Nate. John Murray was the earliest one to join. Did he replace Nate Lang?
Nate Lang, yeah.
So that's like 7 months in or something
like
that.
Maybe nine.
Let's just talk about the initial thing, because you never know. I love seeing the emergence of a great team, because you sort of can't predict when it happens. Stone Cold, though, like I think its second show exploded. The first show was good, but I don't remember...
Yeah, that's a good point.
Thinking it was remarkable.
I think you're right.
I mean, it was solid. Mm-hmm. But the second show, Stone Cold, like, I think that... Did that have... That had Nate Lang doing... Was that Johnny Rebel on the second show?
I think it may have been. That's what
or was
I was
it? Or was it the like a big Breakfast
monologue?
At Tiffany's?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was Crazy Coach, right?
Oh, that's the... Yeah.
I don't remember. Yeah. Nate Lang was insane.
It like, had some big Nate moment.
Clements and Spellman
together
were writing great sketches, and they would perform them. And then Fran was on this team, and you... And then Nate Lang, who was insane.
And amazing.
Who was just like a crazy person, psychopath, performer, but hilarious.
And would just explode on stage.
And then Neil Casey was directing you guys.
It started out...
Dom directed your first show.
But Neil came soon after and directed us for years, which is why Stone Cold Fox...
The marriage of Neil Casey and that team was perfect.
Was everything, and also Caitlin Taggart really...
Yeah, Sean Clements and Caitlin. I already knew Sean was a good writer because I'd worked with him on iBadger.
Yeah.
But I didn't know Caitlin.
Caitlin kind of exploded on Stone Cold Fox.
Stone Cold Fox made everybody...
Yeah.
Introduced everyone to Caitlin.
To Caitlin, yeah.
And also, I think, made everybody pay attention, more attention to Sean and Neil in a way.
Yeah.
Like, everyone already knew Neil was great. Right. But I don't think he had... He had directed a ton, but... Everybody just started paying attention to this thing.
He cared about the team as much as we cared about the team. So it was a big deal that he
hugely really, hilarious sketches, Snapple Facts.
Yep.
And I like Tiger Talk.
Yeah.
And Nate Lang's Crazy Coach.
Yeah, that Johnny Rebel sketch was great.
Johnny Rebel sketch, Breakfast at Tiffany's was like super like thunderous, huge laughter in the audience,
big
like explosions.
Hooks.
Yeah.
Big great sketch comedy hooks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, you remember like, Joe Spellman's characters? Characters and catchphrases,
where
he was like Mr. Sketch.
Oh, yeah.
With a big mustache. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's so great,
it's
though.
So
but I loved it.
From outer space or something. Yeah, I have had...
Oh, and Cody was on this team.
Cody Melton,
Oh, my God. What a ridiculous man.
I know. I love him. I have had so... Like, I love Stone Cold Fox. I've never... You know, people leave Mod a lot. You do it for a year, you leave, you whatever.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's
I think I've done it for 5 years. Is that possible?
Mm-hmm.
I have never even wanted to leave. I love the team. I'm so proud of it. Every like incarnation has been as good as, you know, like there's never been like a weak time. Everybody, like all the mixtures of people has worked really well. I'm super sad to be leaving it, although I feel like I'm not really gone. No, I will be gone. I don't know. But they're like the show we're doing right now, I think is so good and funny.
All keyed up.
Yeah, I love it. Eli Terry and like all these great...
Talk about what you love so much about it, or what's so great about it.
It feels the last year that we've been doing these weekend shows. We have an hour. It's like a little bit more. You know, it's like we got to draw a crowd. It's not just Mod Night where, you know what I mean. It's not Mod Night where people will be you kind
it's of not
expect.
As much of a built-in audience.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we've been trying to do these like big shows, and some of them have really worked, and some of them haven't. Big themed shows, maybe mm-hmm. too plot heavy. And this mm-hmm. one, we're like, let's just do the sketches that we think are the absolute funniest. We'll figure out a through line. And we did, and it was, and it's silly, but it is super fun. Mm-hmm. And we just, there's not a sketch that isn't fun to do on stage. It's fun. And there are a lot of group scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Numbers.
Yeah. And I just love, it's, John Murray just had a couple babies, so he's not doing this show, but God love him.
Yeah.
Jonathan Fernandez, Brandon Scott Jones, Molly Lloyd, Leslie Mizell.
Connor Ratliff's doing it now.
God, I love Connor. You guys, I love yeah. Connor. Mm-hmm. He's so talented.
Yeah.
And I love all those people. Brandon Scott Jones is like my soulmate, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love performing with him so much. He brings tears to my eyes.
Yeah.
I love him so much. Mm-hmm. I can't even think about leaving him because I just love playing with him so much. It's just such a solid group of people. Everybody is so fun and good, and it makes me better. It's fun. It makes me better. They all make me better. Everybody I've Stone Cold Fox is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All those people.
The acting chops in that team has always been crazy.
Yeah.
I've only directed Stone Cold a couple of times, but every time was like such a breeze because like everybody's on their shit.
Yeah.
They invest energy into it. Everybody knows their lines. Right. Actually, not until the very end.
I was going to say, that's our downfall is we have
but this huge commitment on stage.
Right.
And like, you know that the actors are going to add to it.
Right.
Like that it's going to be, even if the sketch for some reason doesn't quite get to where it should be, just because sometimes that happens in a short development cycle.
Yeah.
Back when you guys are on Mod, the actors will bring it however farther it needs to be brought.
Fran, that you just saying that makes me think of Fran because she, like if we all, you know, if there's a sketch that maybe the team is kind of like, I think this will work. And if you put Fran in it, like it's going to work.
But that's true for everybody on the team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you've had some of the best writers.
Yes.
That have floated, you know, Chris Kelly wrote for Stone Cold.
That was fun.
And you got Trap.
Yeah, Michael Trapp.
If I start naming people, I know there's everybody
there
who's
so
ever
many.
Isn't
we
great.
Have had,
David White.
We have had no bad writers.
Yeah.
Really. There's never been like a weak link where it's like, oh, get this guy off the team.
Yeah.
It's been great. I feel so lucky to have been a part of that.
And we don't have a huge, you know, the sketch culture here isn't as developed as improv.
Right.
Maybe that's not as true anymore, but that was true for a while at least. And so like when a big working entity just emerges, it's huge because it like sort of people imprint on it and learn sort of how to do it and then like bring that to other places. Yeah. Like people who are involved in Stone Cold and then go do other shows at the theater, like it spreads around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or the actors, you know, if you're on a mod team that's having like a couple rough shows, you watch Stone Cold, you're like, oh, our actors need to like, or if you're an actor watching, you're like, I gotta be like that.
Yeah,
I gotta step out with like real and own it the way these guys do.
Yeah.
The other thing that's been that like personally has been great for Stone Cold Fox for me is I've gotten to do a lot of runs of shows from the writers on the team. Like I got to do a great 2-person show with the amazing Tim Dunn because Caitlin.
Oh yeah, you did. Tim and Darcy Find the Nine.
Right, Caitlin wrote that show and that was such an amazing experience.
That was during that 6-month period where Caitlin wrote like 150 shows.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Everything.
She wrote the President
the
show,
theater.
Then you and Tim show, and then Stone Cold stuff.
Mm-hmm. She's. Is the word, where'd it go?
Prolific?
Prolific, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's prolific as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Michael Trapp, Death Wears Stilettos.
Great show.
Great. So, like, just solid
and
as a rock.
All nice people.
Everybody's
Michael
nice.
Michael Trapp's like the nicest
dude. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's so great. And then, of course, Chris Kelly wrote Oh My God, I Heard You're Dying, which was, you know.
Yeah. Amazing.
And I believe you're the third guest in a row that we've had that has been on
that's
in
that
show. That's
true. The lovely Morgan Jarrett and Brandon Scott Jones were in that show, and we had a blast. That felt like doing a play. That was like, that satisfied my like actor brain a lot.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that show definitely felt like a play.
Yeah.
God, Chris Kelly, he also was just like a machine of material while he was
still
here.
He still is, dude.
He was in 27 Kidneys originally, right? And then Stone Cold just stole him.
Yeah. We were like, who's the best?
Yeah. And it's true. He still is a machine.
Yeah, he's a machine.
Productivity.
God, I love that boy.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's my little baby.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And you also are on the curfew. You were.
How did that happen?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, I.
How the fuck did that happen?
Playing with the curfew is like a weird dream world because I'm playing with only people that I look up to. like heroes. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know what to make of it. I've been on the team now for like maybe 9 months or so. Mm-hmm. And I still kind of, I don't, it's not like I get nervous, but I'm like, how am I playing with like Kevin Hines and Chelsea Clark? Like, this is crazy to me. I'm playing with people that I watched forever.
Right.
And it's been so great. And I really just feel lucky as hell to get to play on that team.
Mm-hmm. Here's a question, Will, if you don't mind me asking.
Do it.
This is another, I'm going to put you on the spot, but okay. I like to ask people this question. And I don't know how anybody answers mm-hmm. it, but, this is the thing that I'm always curious about is what do you look for or try to do when you initiate scenes or when you were like at the yeah. top of a scene, like okay.
What's your strategy?
Okay. What's your strategy?
That's a good
what's
question.
Happening in your brain?
Okay. This is what like, okay. I don't know exactly how I explain this, but here's the deal. Somebody said in one of my classes at some point, who was it?
Doesn't matter.
Okay. They said that you want to make your scene partner, it might have been Gethard, you want to make your scene partner look like a genius.
Mm-hmm.
And that like maybe stuck with me bigger, harder than any other piece of advice as far as improv advice
Why?
Goes.
What does that mean to you?
Did you ever take an Anthony King class?
Yes. God, that sounds he's like amazing. An Anthony. It might have been Anthony. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? It totally was. And I think he said it like real like.
He went through a phase, I remember, that was a big.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone gives that note sure. in different ways. Anthony doesn't have territory over that particular
I think he
sentiment.
Does.
But he that was a big teaching
yeah,
tool
was.
For him was to organize it that way. Yeah.
I think the reason that, I don't know, maybe the reason that we all got into improv is because we all. I mean, we would have maybe just done stand up or something if we wanted to like have all the glory for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I love, I don't, I'm just like talking and thinking. I don't know
well,
if any of this makes
how,
sense.
How would
but,
that translate to you how you start?
Okay.
Make your scene partner look like a genius. So how does that inform?
I think
you're stepping
yeah.
off the back line. The suggestion is whip.
You want me to initiate or you
yeah.
want to talk about it?
Initiate. Yeah, you can talk it out.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think, out, yeah. I think my, like I don't know if this is a good strategy, but what I do is, if it's whip, I want to, how do I say this? What I'm going to say is so cheesy, but
that's okay.
I want you to be your best. I want to
okay.
like, I want to play with you, John.
Uh-huh.
And I want like you to, I want to give you the gift to like be the fucking best mm-hmm. and be the funniest and. It's like a assist or I don't know what, like I find myself
so
doing
So you
want
to set him up. You're going to play the
yeah.
person.
Yeah. And I know you'll do the same for me.
Are you saying,
so what does that mean you do?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Are you saying that is it at all dependent on the person that you see when you step out?
Yeah.
Like,
maybe
is it
a little
like,
bit.
Oh, I know this, what this person's best
I think
is
so.
And I'm going to tailor my initiation towards that.
Yeah. I think that has something
okay.
to do with it, but also like we have to be able to play with anyone. You guys, how do you talk about this?
I don't know. It's yeah. weird.
I don't know.
No,
it's
but
a weird
you
thing.
Can do it. I hear you do it.
We mostly like, make the other people do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like how, let's switch up. You got, you're
why don't you give her, why don't you initiate and then she can.
I'll give you another, so I'm going to give you a new suggestion. Yeah. Just try an initiation. It's okay, okay if you end up not liking
sure,
it.
Sure.
And then we'll just talk about why you did that
okay.
initiation.
Okay.
And it's okay if it's not
no,
great.
Sure. It won't be great.
Okay.
Because it's.
John's going to give a suggestion.
Okay. The suggestion is Rubik's Cube. Okay.
Good heavens.
Honey, I need you to come out of your room today because it's bright and sunny and you haven't been
no.
outside all weekend.
No, I'm not coming.
Okay.
I'm not going to leave the room.
Grandma's coming over.
Doesn't matter.
She's bringing rhubarb cake.
All right, so what are you thinking when you start?
Well, actually,
you look at me, you know I like to play introverts and I'm scared of people.
But you know what is funny? As soon as I started doing that, I thought of a note that you gave me when I was in your class,
uh-oh,
which is that I play moms and girlfriends too much.
Oh, is that right?
Which is a great note, and I think about it
note?
All
that
the time.
That sounds like an obnoxious
no,
judgment.
It's not.
Piece
it's,
of shit.
No, Will, it's a
no,
great...
No, I don't think so.
It's a great... It makes me like a stronger... It makes me stronger because it's,
yeah,
it's totally easy to fall into those things. And mm-hmm, and if I find myself like, you know, 20 minutes into a show and I think back on what I've done so far and it's only girly things,
right,
then I come on stage with a big old dick.
I think that's, excuse me, I think that's what those notes are good for. They're not obnoxious because it's not like when when you get a note, like when I get a note like that of like, oh, you play this too much, like people, teachers also often tell me like, you play the best person in the class too much.
Really? Get that note?
I used to get that note all the time.
Anybody gotten
like,
that note?
You're too good.
I've never
good
given
at
it, never heard it.
I've heard
it. Never
hear
even
it all the time.
Thought about
never
giving it to somebody.
Yeah. Like, I often get the note of like, I couldn't hear the rest of the scene because I was
laughing
too much.
So
yeah.
Really?
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I get that note all the time.
Oh, man.
I should take classes with you. I've never.
Everybody should take classes with them. But when you get that note of like, you do this too much, it's not like, don't ever do that again.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, be
also
try other things.
Yeah.
Be aware
it was
of
helpful
that you're doing.
What's your advice if somebody says, I'm in my head too much? How do I get out of my head?
I think it's...
Like, I'm scared. I'm doing a show tonight. And I'm in my head. How do I... What
I think
I
you
do?
Have to, like... I think it's as simple as trusting that you know what you're doing. How do you get out of your head? I mean, it's what we say. Don't think. Like don't be thinking. Listen to what they're saying, listen to the monologue or listen to the suggestion. And then like, I think if you're having a hard time because you're in your head, step on stage, step out off the line, like not knowing what the fuck you're going to do and trust that. Yeah.
You're in the curfew, right? I bet you that was intimidating.
It was.
So what did you do? You were probably intimidated and nervous and you want to do a good job and you're here at the UCB finally in this weekend team. So what'd you do?
I think like with things that have intimidated me, so the curfew or ASCAT or even Torco, like my first times with those groups.
Right.
I would like hear my dad's voice in my head. And this is the truth. This is what he used to say.
Okay.
Can I say this?
Please do.
He'd go, you are the best. You are the king of the world. There's nobody better than you. Okay?
Really?
And
wow.
It gives me confidence. Like I can't explain. Mm-hmm. And I probably shouldn't have done this with any of those groups, but I think I stepped off the line first. So I was like, get out there.
No, I've heard that's a common thing.
I don't know if you're supposed to
If you don't
do
get
that
out early, you won't get out later. Right. So you just throw yourself
and
out.
I can picture it on all of those, in all of those situations where I was just like, just follow,
I've seen it a lot
too.
People who are like the newest personal sometimes be like,
I gotta
go
it
now.
Yeah. And then you're out and then you did it. Cause you all know that feeling of, the show has been going and going and you still haven't done anything. And then it's almost like you're a virgin
becomes,
and you can't have sex because you're too old or something like
right.
that.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah, that's the exact metaphor I think about.
It does work. It's the same thing.
So I wanted to talk about this. you know, you talked about going to see ASCAT and feeling like you were watching a rock concert and thinking like, I want to do this.
Yeah.
And dreaming and it being like this unattainable dream. So then you finally get to do ASCAT. What is that like for you?
I might cry if we talk about this.
Okay. Well, then that's what I want.
Okay.
I go for tears every episode of this podcast.
It like
0 for 80.
Yeah. Yeah. let's see. I used to go every week to ASCAT as a student. I would be in line. Are you looking for something? No, you're fine. I would be in line at like 6 o'clock. I would be the first person in line. I would be a real bitch about the line. Like, don't you think you're getting in front of me?
Uh-huh. Right.
And I would watch them. I would, if my parents were in town, I would bring them. If a friend was in town, I'd bring them. I'd go by myself. I would like, it was like Amy and Jack McBrayer and Rob Riggle and, you know, these hero, like Jason and all these heroes. And I loved it so much. There was never a bad show. It was always so much fun. It was the highlight of my week. And then I got to do it. And I've been doing it for 2 years.
How did you get to do it? What was the...
I'm sure it was a hiccup in the system and they were desperate for something and they, you know, they...
Did
I got,
you get a phone call
I got
or
a text from Chris Gethard and he just said, can you do ASCAT tonight? And I really was like, oh, not someone's playing a trick on me, but like, this is a mistake.
This is an aberration.
Yeah, right. This is just like a weird fluke.
Right.
And the show was... God, it's like a blur. I remember Bobby Moynihan being, I was like a little nervous backstage and he was like, this is your first show? He's like, oh, just have fun. This is going to be great. And he told me about his first show and it put me at ease, like how nervous he was for his first. And I did step out in the first scene and it helped me do the rest of the scenes or the rest of the show. And Jason, my husband, tells me to have big balls when I do shows like that. Mm-hmm. He's like, don't waste your time up there. You know, like, make the moves, like make your moves, have big balls. I've gotten texts from him backstage at like intermission. That's like, suck up, Darcy. Come on. Yeah. And it helps me so much.
Wow.
Like, I think it helps my athlete brain a little bit. But like, I mean, just the, like I don't know how to explain this, you guys. The people that I have on a lot of levels at UCB, like the people that I have gotten to play with, whether it's Will Hines, who I looked up to from like the beginning when I first started taking class,
right,
or like Amy Poehler, I got to play with her.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah. She's like everything. Oh my, here goes. She's
finally.
Yeah.
Keep talking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She like represents everything that I love about what we're doing. And she like lived up to what I hoped she would. And she was nice to me and she knew my name and she laughed at things I said. And she like changed my life. And I've gotten to play with everybody, I'm pointing to you guys, that I've wanted to play with, people that I used to watch and now I get to play with. I can't think of anything better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
It's I feel like incredibly lucky and I just can't believe it. Like, I can't believe that I got so lucky. And I think it's just a lot of hard work and I don't know, like, be nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I love UCB in a way that is hard for me to explain. I'm so proud of it. I feel like it is, I don't get to just like hang out with people that I think are funny. I get to hang out with like the funniest people in the world. And that's like all I ever wanted. And you guys are my friends and that's cool.
Did you get to do scenes with Amy?
I did.
Do you remember what your scenes were?
Oh, yeah, I do.
What were they?
We did a scene. Okay, pull it together, Cardin. We did a scene where Bill Hader did the monologues, and the story was about like feeling like you had cheated on Blockbuster when you signed up for Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And so Amy and I did a scene where she was Blockbuster and I was breaking up with her.
Mm-hmm.
She was the guy behind the counter at Blockbuster, but we, like, I was breaking up with her for Netflix, but we played it like, I think we played it as real as like real emotion and stuff. And it was really fun. And she, guess what, guys, she's real good.
Yeah.
She could read my mind. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And when I stepped out with that idea and then she was the one who stepped out with me, I was like, had a second of panic, but then she just is like, she looks at you in your eyes and she's like, I got you. I mean, she thinks that. She doesn't say it.
Right.
Then
but you can
hear
sort
it.
Of feel that.
Yeah,
off
yeah, yeah.
Her, like,
and then we got to bring it back at the end and Zach Woods came out and did some great, you know, like walk on. And then on the back line, you guys, this is a weird thing to be telling whoever's listening to this. But on the back line, she looked at me and she went, you made me laugh so much. And I just wanted to like call my mom and dad. I mean, she didn't. She just said it like real quiet, but she like kind of smiling and said it. And I was like, oh, that's all I need.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to go retire. Have a million babies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're getting
I'm sure we are.
The end.
I know.
Oh, it's okay. What are you, so you're going to LA.
Yeah.
What are you going to do out there? What do you think? Like, are you going to, I'm assuming you're going to try to connect with the community out there.
Yeah, yeah. I like, you know, we have some good friends in LA, meaning, you know, that like we're lucky because UCB is out there too. And a lot of our friends have moved out there. So I'm excited to see a bunch of those people. I feel totally overwhelmed. I mean, I don't like, we've all worked so hard to kind of get where we are here. And I know you can't just like walk into that over there. So I know I have to, start not necessarily from the square one, but I have to work my way up.
Yeah. Does that feel intimidating
at
all?
It does. Yeah, it totally does. But do you guys know this new New York guy named Connor O'Malley?
Yes.
He's
on my team.
He's on what?
On the team I'm on. Cole.
He is? Yeah. Cole, that's right. Yeah. And he's on Good Girl too, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
He
was on Cole first.
Whatever. Like, why?
Oh,
why
yeah,
don't
he
people?
Just got, yeah. He's, yeah. Yeah, he's on Good Girl.
But he was in Chicago. He was like the top, you know, like he'd been working hard and he was performing with all the people you know, like that you strive mm-hmm. to be performing with. And then he moved to New York and started taking Level 101. And I was so impressed. He plays with us at Gentrify, which is why I know him. I was so impressed with how quickly he didn't complain about it at all. He wasn't like, this sucks. I have to start at 101. Right. He was like, I'm so excited to get to take a 101 class. I would wouldn't you kind of love to?
Yeah.
Really, if you think about it, wouldn't you kind of love to? Like, kind of relearn some things?
It's a very, peculiar and unique place to be able to get with your ego.
Yeah.
Is to be able to say, I would love to move to a new city and start all over.
Yeah. And I don't know what, if I'll take classes or what, but I am excited to, I think I can have the confidence to say to myself, you've worked really hard, you know what you're doing. It's almost impossible to say that to yourself because we're never as good as we want to be, and there's always more things to learn. But if I just think if I repeat those words that my dad spoke to me, but if I just think to myself you can do this, you know what you're doing, you know what you're talking about, then maybe I'll be okay. I don't know, man. I am intimidated as fuck.
Sure,
but I think it'll be okay.
I think so too. If anybody can handle it, you can.
Well, thanks, John Frusciante. Or as my little sister calls you, John Frusciante. Just for fun.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah.
Will, did you have anything?
I don't. I think that was really nice.
I think so, too. Cypher?
No, I'm good.
Keaton?
Okay, sign from Keaton.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you guys, I love you both.
I love you, too. I'm so glad that we finally got to have you on. I also want to retroactively point out that during your Ask Cat story, when you were in tears, you were drawing drawing UCB in blue Sharpie marker on your fingertips.
That's right.
What is that about? I have no idea.
I don't either.
Who knows? Who cares?
Who will ever know? Who will ever care?
It's beautiful.
Keaton, it was nice to meet you. Cypher, you're doing great work. Keep
thank
it
you
up.
So much.
Good luck. If anybody is in LA listening to this podcast, let Darcy have whatever she wants because she's great.
Thanks, guys. The final thought is I love this community and we're all so fucking lucky to be doing what we're doing on any of the levels. We're really lucky and we can't forget that we're doing what we love. We get to make people laugh. That's the coolest thing on earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I've got my period.
Well, that's it for this episode.
That's the real final thought. Okay. Thank you, Darcy.
Thanks.
This is thanks, great. Darcy.
Thank you, Cypher.
Thanks, Cypher.
Thank
thanks
you, Keaton.
Thanks, John.
Thanks,
thank
Keaton.
You, Will. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
That must free.